Well, there, Siobhan, can you hear me?
I can indeed, Chris. How
okay,
are you today?
Good. we're hooking up on Zoom for the first time here, so gave folks a chance to listen to our theme music, which is actually want to give them a plug, Philip Auberg, and that was off of Windham Hill label, and As If We Didn't Know, and. That's kind of an appropriate name for a song these days, right here.
Indeed.
In Jefferson County and the world. We thought that it would be a good idea for us to honor Martin Luther King and his legacy and the weekend in general, especially in lieu of what has happened and in lieu of what may happen and how important it is for our country to unify, as Martin Luther King advised, in a nonviolent way.
I can think of no other conversation I'd rather have. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is one of my heroes, and it's so important, not just this weekend, but every day, to remember the critical role that he played, the leaders, Black and people of color, who have led so persistently, so courageously, and so graciously the movement for equality in our country. And considering the recent developments, I think that it actually brings me hope that movement is getting stronger, to the extent that those who would hold up white supremacy are feeling a level of threat that they would take the actions that they did last week. So I can think of nothing more that I'd rather do this weekend than spend time reflecting on my own commitment to be anti-racist and to be here with you today talking about our community and what we can all do to listen to, support, and follow Black, Indigenous, and people of color in Jefferson County.
That's right. And there's two of us sitting here that are white that are reflecting on systemic racism. And I think that's important for us to do.
Indeed, we are the ones that that built the systems. We are the ones that must now tear them down.
So when we are looking at things that are endemic in this culture, there are a lot of wonderful things endemic in this culture, and that is good people doing good work right here in the county. And good people bringing awareness to all of us as citizens and participants in society. And I think that might lead us to some questions that we might ask, you know? Like, how do we see Dr. King's legacy right now showing up in action today? As John Lewis...
Well, I'd like to read a quote from Dr. King that I think helps us reflect on what that legacy is and how far we still have to go. So Dr. King said, "America has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice and humanity." This was in the 1960s that Dr. King said that. It's now 2021. We must stop saying this is not who we are. This is who we are. And it's time for us to think about the systems in which we live and work and different ways of promoting equity and anti-racism. It's not inclusion. We don't want to include people in racist systems. We want to have systems that are anti-racist. And I'd just like to point out kind of, you know, this conversation is inherently problematic, right? Where we have two white people talking about anti-racism, and so we need to acknowledge that it is the process. It's the importance of being in process, in conversation, each one of us, about ourselves, our communities, our organizations, our systems, our nation, and that it will be messy and it will be problematic. But what's important is that we are on the road, and I want to acknowledge that just being part of a foundation is problematic. You know, philanthropy was started with the leftover money of corporate leaders, you know, the Ford Foundation and the Carnegies, and how we're going to use that money to quote unquote help people who need it, you know. And I've spent quite a lot of time in my career in philanthropy thinking about that and thinking about new ways of anti-racist approaches. So we have tried some things, you know, they were messy, but and they had some success and some lessons learned. Things like the building the first non-monetary foundation, the belief that all people, whether they have financial wealth or not, are entitled and indeed have the agency to be part of this democracy and part of the social change. It's not just people with money. Or community network building, which says that foundations can't go into communities with answers. They should go in with questions. What are the things that communities want to achieve, and how can we be a resource to that leadership? These sound like subtle differences, but in fact, the culture around these questions are fundamentally different than a foundation coming into a community with a lot of money, directing people and expecting people to do things. So those are just some of the examples of things that I've worked on in this system of philanthropy and nonprofits. And I just encourage everyone who's listening to think about where your systems are and ways that you can think differently about who has agency, who has the leadership in a room, who has the privilege in a room, and how you can use that privilege to lift up and support Black, Indigenous, and people of color.
I also think that a lot of I think a lot of division in the country is based on fear and insecurity that kind of crosses racial lines. I think that there are a lot of people that are feeling disenfranchised for the right reasons or the wrong reasons throughout our population, and it's up to us to be unifying elements when it comes to figuring out what's going on systemically and what we need to do, the good work that we need to do in order to make things happen in this nation in a positive way.
Agreed. And the promotion of unity is really, that's one part of it, but it's really not enough. I'll take the example of the vaccination process around COVID. There's been a concerted effort to reach out to communities of color across the United States because of their reluctance based on the Tuskegee experiments and other instances where they have been abused by the systems of government in our community and the medical systems. I mean, we have to recognize those are real things. It is not just fear, kind of manufactured fear. It is a real history of abuse. And so it's our job to put ourselves as advocates, as protectors, as in, you know, hold the space actively for people to take the risk to benefit from some of the systems that have traditionally abused them, and to make sure that those systems are actually equitable and inclusive and anti-racist.
That's right. And so the way to do that, of course, is to be part of the effort, not to stand by and just watch things happen and say, well, there's nothing I can do about it. There are things that we can do about it. We can do things about that in a voluntary nature, and we can do it in leadership. And that doesn't mean that, like you say, it might be messy. I mean, in the words of John Lewis,
it will be messy.
John Lewis said, you know, get in good trouble. But when he said that, he said it in a very honorable way, as opposed to what we're confronting now.
That leads me to a good opportunity, Chris, to share with you some of the things that are happening in our community and some active ways that folks can support the leadership and work of BIPOC people in our community. There are actually four funding opportunities that folks should know about. One is Woodbridge Farm. It's a farm in Chimicum that's being transformed by an African-American farmer, and he needs some financial support. So if you go on to GoFundMe.com and you search for Jefferson County, you'll find all of these opportunities on there. So Woodbridge Farm is one. Another one is a fundraising effort on GoFundMe for a permanent space for Nadine's Kitchen, which is being led by Grace Love, a beloved member of our community, looking for a permanent space for her food restaurant and food production business. The third is an effort called Keep the Land in BIPOC Hands. It's an effort to purchase a piece of land on the Dosey Wallops as a retreat space for Black and Indigenous people of color. And then, of course, there's JCARF, the Jefferson County Anti-Racist Fund, which is basically a reparations fund. And that is, you know, I want to lift up reparations. That's something all of us, well, I won't say all, but most of us can do in terms of just readjusting the allocation of wealth in our community and trusting that that is a systemic approach to supporting the leadership and work of people of color in our community. So those are four ways that folks can take action this weekend. And then and by promoting that, not only giving, but by promoting that those efforts to your own networks, people can help to support some of the current activities happening.
And I'd like to give a shout out to Cameron out at Woodbridge Farm. There's a man who is passionately in love with the land and making things grow. And I think that's just really a beautiful thing.
And Peter, and I think there's a whole team down there. Yeah. And I also want to say, you know, there's been an extraordinary amount of work to launch Black Lives Matter East Jefferson County over this last year. And that's been an incredible effort to hear about and to support. And I expect we'll be hearing more from them. I also know that they're launching an anti-racist literacy course that they're piloting right now with their own volunteers so that they can engage they can engage allies, but also that we as allies can make the effort to educate ourselves.
Yeah.
So I think there are a lot of really good reading materials. I know that a lot of good organizations, the Equal Justice Initiative, the ACLU of Washington, the Center for Policing Equity, the Innocence Project, all of those are some information sources for folks who want to learn more about the anti-racist activities happening not only in Jefferson County, but in Washington State.
That's right. And, you know, it leads me to say that we all need to be part of a solution. I think it's just really important for that to be foremost in our minds and souls, to be part of a solution. And what that means is it means education, it means communication, it means sort of enlightenment in our own minds about what certain words mean. Certain words take on pejorative, like defunding the police. Well, what does that really mean? You know, an adverse choice for something that is well intended, and that means to find money that goes in the right directions for community and addressing problems in the community and law enforcement and all the rest of that. That's just one of those things. But Black Lives Matter in Jefferson County just started last year.
And they have a network of folks who are really building place-based lives here in Jefferson County. And, in some ways, I think that Jefferson County is reflective of the United States of America right now. I think that we have a very mixed ideological landscape. And I think that starting a Black Lives Matter chapter or network here is a fascinating look at how do we locally work on some of these very same issues that we're seeing play out in Washington, D.C.
That's right.
And How do we do that with love and unarmed truth as Dr. King said?
That's right. I got swept away by our discussion here. And I'm looking at the clock and we only have about, I don't know, 30 or 40 seconds left. So is there any kind of a capper you want to put on this?
Yeah, on that note, I'll just end with this quote from Dr. King that I just referred to. He said, "I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final work in reality. Sorry, the final word in reality. That is why right temporarily defeated is stronger than evil triumphant."
Siobhan Canty, thank you as always. You've been listening to another edition of Community Tides. Now on alternate Fridays, sometime afternoon, just a little bit afternoon, depending, with yours truly, Chris Bricker, and host Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson County Foundation, to talk about new developments, new paradigms, and the new normal facing Jefferson County as we roll into a very interesting 2021. Thanks, Siobhan.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Bye-bye.